are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's another week. It's another Monday mailbag episode. We are only 11 days from 49ers training camp getting started. Rookies and veterans both reporting the same day this year, July 26th. We're getting close. Getting excited for tomorrow's episode. We're going to do that Locked On 49ers Trivia Challenge, and we're going to have one pilot episode tomorrow. It looks like we have three contestants lined up, and should be a lot of fun, and we'll see how this goes. And if it goes well, then we'll make it a regular thing and maybe do the bracket that I was kicking around the idea of doing. I don't think the bracket thing is going to work right now, time-wise and everything before camp gets started, but I think we could have multiple episodes and then maybe have a Champions episode or something like that. We'll see how this goes, though. The first one, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Some 49ers and NFL trivia on a Tuesday's episode coming up tomorrow. And then, of course, another Winky Wednesday on tap after that. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, everywhere you find podcasts. You can find this show and all of the programs on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's where most of these questions came from. You can also email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Let's kick this off with a question about Robbie Gould. An email from LilGirl57 says, "Hey Brian, great show. Shout out to Leo. Thank you so much. Says, I first want to say I love listening to you and Nick on Wednesdays. I always get a good giggle or two, even when you go off topic. It's all good for me." Thank you for that. And that's generally what we get as responses. Very, very rarely, there's a couple of people out there that really hate when Nick and I go off topic, but there's so much in the minority. Apologies to those folks, but most people love it. And so we're going to keep having fun with it and going a little bit off topic, especially in the off season. You know, one segment per week with Nick in the offseason, I think, is fair to go a little bit off topic. We'll probably stay a lot more on topic during the season, as we usually do. The email goes on to say, "My question is about the kicker situation. I don't think Robbie Gould will come back. Hope I'm wrong. I really feel he will sit out the season and just go back to Chicago. And if that is the case, what is plan B for the Niners? Keep pushing. Go Niners." Thank you very much for the email and the kind words. And I was thinking, the Robbie Gould thing could be a little bit more bleak, and, you know, he really wants out, really wants to go to a specific place. But then Gould recently has been on a few radio shows. He's on Sirius XM. I have some audio here. And, well, let's just hear from Robbie Gould first.
It's a complicated situation. I think, you know, the way I've kind of approached it is I want to spend time with my family, and I let my agent handle it. And if anything comes up that I got to make a decision or be in the know on, then he'll call me and let me know. But right now there's nothing to really know, and you know, I'm just enjoying being home and being in Chicago, and I'm at a point in my career where my family is what's going to dictate the decisions that I make.
So there's a few things there with Robbie Gould. Number one, so he wants what's best for his family. You know, if he wants to live close to maybe Chicago, and he even mentioned that he didn't mean it's only Chicago or bust. There's other places near there that he would play as well. But he also mentioned that there's time to get a multi-year contract done until Monday, which makes me think maybe he still is talking to the 49ers about that. And that's still a possibility. So that, which is strange to hear him even speak about a long-term deal with the 49ers getting done by the deadline Monday. But in reality, if he's talking about the best thing for his family, then sitting out is not going to be that. Getting paid whatever the franchise, what's like $4.5 million, right? Or almost $5 million is the franchise tag number for him to play on. And then after a few months, look, he's 6 months away from, look, the 49ers, if they go to the Super Bowl in February, then he can move and live wherever he wants and sign a new deal after that with whatever team he wants, right? So make $5 million for the next 6 months for your family, then go play somewhere else. That's really the only logical way this thing's going to play out. So, yeah, I don't think anybody should be worried that Robbie Gould is, and he's still a kicker. There's not crazy leverage there. And unless some team actually wants to pay a bunch in picks to get Robbie Gould, which I don't think is going to be the case, then he's going to play for the 49ers for one more year, and that's it. Let's move over to Twitter, where Jose asks, if you could add one free agent currently available, who and why? I think that the most obvious one would be either Trey Boston or Eric Berry, just because the 49ers' safety situation and Jimmy Ward being hurt, they want to move Tarvarius Moore forever to safety, or do they still like him at corner and they would rather have a safety there? So I just think depth-wise with Jimmy Ward's injuries and just some uncertainty there, either one of those players would make a lot of sense. I think the youth is on Trey Boston's side. But having a very smart veteran safety like Eric Berry could make some sense too, you know, as long as he is able to work out for a year and you're able to pass a physical and things like that, because Eric Berry used to be one of the best safeties in the NFL, but obviously he's had a rough go of it on the health front. So, yeah, Trey Boston would probably be the one that makes the most sense. There are some other players out there that I think could help the 49ers. Obviously, there's not any I like Jay Ajayi a lot, but, you know, the 49ers are just kind of stacked at running back. He's a very different runner than what the 49ers have. If the 49ers, say, weren't as deep at the position, I would say Jay Ajayi, former shadow 49er, by the way, would make a lot of sense. Michael Crabtree is still out there. I don't think that's happening. Maybe Muhammad Wilkerson is one of the better names. Let's see. Ryan Schrader, offensive tackle. The 49ers could use some depth at offensive tackle. Let's see. You know, a name to keep in mind, actually, who's not a free agent right now, but I read recently that could be released is Sua Cravens, who is sort of a big safety in Denver. And he's sort of that Dre Greenlaw-style dime linebacker. And he would make sense for the 49ers for what they're trying to do at linebacker. They seem to want to be athletic and maybe undersized and have some coverage linebackers out there. Sua Cravens would really fit that mold for the 49ers. It would be an interesting piece. Not someone that would run in and start or anything for you, but it sounds like Denver wants a more pure linebacker, and so he would have to make their team as just a pure safety, and so we'll see if he's able to do that. But that's an interesting name. So if you want a coverage-style sort of dime linebacker, Sua Cravens is an interesting name that I think could make a little bit of sense. But if you have to pick one, you go with the youth at safety and go Trey Boston and just make sure you got yourself set there and have a nice little competition at free safety and even, you know, make sure you're the good at strong safety. You got to be just be solid, have more depth throughout the roster is probably what I would go with. But if there was a really good corner, I might go that route too. I think the best corner on the market is Morris Claiborne, who's a veteran and a player that I thought would make some sense for the 49ers to just give you that that veteran presence in the secondary. But they kind of went with Jason Verrett with that. And so if Verrett is healthy, obviously he's a better player, I think, than Claiborne. But Claiborne, even though he's a little bit older, has just been a little bit healthier, and he would make some sense for the 49ers. Let's say if they had an injury at corner, someone you know that could come in and you could trust to play the position at an NFL level. And actually, check all that. The actual real answer of someone who's a free agent that would be awesome to bring back is Patrick Willis. I don't think he's coming back, though, anytime soon. More Locked On 49ers mailbag after this. Let's go to the Ferocious Gentleman on Twitter. He says, I've heard you use Golden Tate, Pierre Garçon as player comps for Debo coming out of SC, but after seeing a clip on his Instagram this past weekend, he seems way better than those two. Who's your player comp for him, and how excited are you to see him in action? Of course, all the rookies are the funnest players to watch and pick apart in camp and in preseason games because it's the first time you've seen him in action in that scarlet and gold uniform. So it's fun and see how they're going to be put to use. And I think actually it was Kyle Shanahan who dropped the Pierre Garçon connection to Debo Samuel. But yeah, I think Golden Tate, just because the way he's built, and I've talked about how he's Debo's sort of Golden Tate, because, you know, that running back build, but a player that can still go up and get the ball in the air, can make plays after the catch, so he can be a volume receiver in short areas, but also can be, you know, a heavily targeted player and do things on multiple levels of the field. But there's a sprinkling of, and this is where I think, where you're talking Ferocious Gentlemen, where you're hoping there's more than Golden Tate, and you're hoping that there's a higher ceiling and a higher upside than Golden Tate. And there's just a little dash, just a little seasoning of Odell Beckham, who's also a 5'11 wide receiver. The feet, the footwork, the little bit of that juice that's there. And maybe, you know, maybe the younger Golden Tate had a little bit more juice than the Golden Tate we're thinking of now. But I think that's the Debo comparison, I think, to me, is Golden Tate with a little sprinkle of Odell Beckham is what you're hoping to get there. And have someone who can make plays deep down the field after the catch, can catch those short passes, can move the chains, also make big plays. And we've seen those clips of Debo throwing down a monster dunk. And like, he can get up, he can go up and get the ball, which is why when people, when I've talked about him playing bigger than his 5'11 size, it's because of his strength being 214 pounds at 5'11 and also his hops to go up and get the ball. And he's a competitive guy. That's the reason he's called Debo. You know, that's what he was named in the neighborhood, because that's his demeanor. He wants to beat you. He wants the ball when it's in the air. That's his ball. He's going to go get it. And I like, I like Debo Samuel a lot. I think he's a great fit for the 49ers offense. And you hope that his upside isn't capped to Golden Tate, even though Golden Tate's a really good player. And I think about the same thing with Dante Pettis. It's like, okay, if Dante Pettis and Debo Samuel are your long-term, you know, 1A, 1B, you know, 1 and 2 receivers, if they are essentially, like, let's say, Golden Tate and Dante Pettis is a hard one to have a really good comp for, but someone like maybe Stephon Diggs? If you have Stephon Diggs and Golden Tate, is that... I don't know. Is that like great? Is that good? Are you wanting more if that was the end result? Because those are two pretty good players. You're not going to get AJ Jenkins, or you're not going to get, I hope you're not going to get AJ Jenkins on the low end, but you're not going to get AJ Green. You know, neither one of these guys is 6'4". You're not going to get Julio Jones out of these guys because they're not those physical freaks. So what could they be potentially for the 49ers offense? If you ended up with, say, a Stephon Diggs and Golden Tate, I think that might disappoint some people, but those are really good players. So I don't think putting that, you know, if that's their ceiling, if that's what they end up being, I think they can both be maybe more than that, but I wouldn't bet on their ceiling being a lot higher. So they're not capped, and they could both be great. They could both be, I mean, Jerry Rice wasn't necessarily a physically dominant human being like Randy Moss was, right? And that's why a lot of people, especially younger people, they watch Randy Moss play and they're like, he was the best receiver ever. It's like, well, maybe he was the most talented wide receiver ever, but he wasn't the best wide receiver ever. That was Jerry Rice flat out. And so physical limitations aren't necessarily the cap on a player, but it's, I mean, you can't just have everybody be amazing and be, you know, the highest of the highest levels. So temper enthusiasm with Debo Samuel. I think he's a great player. I think he's going to be awesome. But let's see what he is. Let's let him be who he is. And instead of being the second Golden Tate or the second Odell Beckham or the second whatever, Pierre Garçon, let him be the first Debo. And hopefully that's a really great thing. This is a good question from Solomon. He says, everybody is questioning if this is Saleh's D anymore. How long of a leash does he have if the defense starts to underperform? This is an interesting question to me because, well, it's kind of like a chicken or the egg thing. Because, so if Robert Saleh's, if the defense underperforms this year, then absolutely Robert Saleh's got to be under the gun. But it's almost like a no-win situation for Robert Saleh now, because if the defense plays much better, plays great, then it's like, well, oh, now it's because of this wide nine thing, or it's because of Joe Woods, the secondary is all of a sudden playing a lot better because they got Joe Woods, who's the DB coach, and they're doing less cover three, and they're doing more man, or they're doing more too high safety looks. And so it's almost like Robert Saleh can't win because he's the defensive coordinator. So if the defense does not play well, he's definitely on the hot seat this year. But if it does play well, then I bet he won't even get the credit because it'll be like, okay, pass rush, so it was the personnel that was the difference. It's not the coordinator. It was, you know, the new coaches on the D-line or in the secondary. It wasn't the coordinator. So, I feel bad for Robert Saleh almost when you look at it that way. I don't think he's basically in a lose-lose situation because he won't get credit if the team plays better on defense, and he'll get probably a lot of the blame if the team's still bad. on defense. But I don't think his leash is actually super long to answer the question, Solomon. If the 49ers are in the tank this year, and I think that's, and I've mentioned this before, I think that's sort of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's get out of jail free card, is they would fire Robert Saleh. Cause it's just, you know, the way things have gone, it's just, you have to, and then they would maybe give, you know, Joe Woods or somebody the reins for the rest of the year and halfway through if the 49ers aren't winning games. And especially because the defense isn't playing good, they got to try something. So that would have to be it. So his leash isn't super long. And I don't think it's going to come to that, but if they did underperform and were really bad, then yeah, it's not the longest leash in the world, which is why I say Robert Saleh is not in the greatest spot right now, I don't think. But, you know, he could come out of that. Robert Saleh could come out looking golden if the team starts to look really great and teams start to have, or people start to have really great thoughts about him as a play caller and a defensive play caller and defensive coach. My reservations with Robert Saleh are just, I get frustrated when I hear Robert Saleh speak because I want to hear at this point, and I think he's probably a pretty good interviewer. You know, when he first showed up in his first interview and he's talking about the defense, talking about the 49ers and what he saw for the team and what he wanted to do. And he's like, I want to have play simple. I want to play fast. I want to play violent. And he had, you know, it was very simple and he's like, okay, you know, he could talk you into it and be like, okay, yeah, I'd run through a wall for this guy. I could see how he could be a good coach, and I like how he wants to simplify things. Because the 49ers were a mess before he took over, right? And they were, you know, playing this just awful scheme, and everything was just bad. And so he wants them to play fast and simplify things and play aggressive and play violent. And then it's like three off seasons in, and you hear Robert Saleh talk about the defense. He's like, oh, we're going to play fast. We're going to play violent. It's like, yeah, okay, we heard that. We've heard that like every single time you've spoken. Let's hear more. Let's hear something, some nuance to this thing. Like when you hear Kyle Shanahan speak about the offense, sometimes he will speak like even over the beat writers' heads about stuff. Like he will get as intricate about it as he can. And, you know, that's just the way his mind works and the way he thinks. Maybe Robert Saleh is holding stuff back because he doesn't want to give away secrets, or he doesn't think the people he's talking to would really even understand what he's getting at. But I want to hear a little bit more nuance when I hear Robert Saleh speak about the defense. That would just make me feel more confident in what's going on there, because sometimes I just feel like, okay, yeah, I get it. You're going to play fast. You're going to play violent. Everyone's trying to play fast and violent. Every coach around the league is preaching that kind of stuff. What are you actually going to do that would change the outcome of what's happening on Sundays? What are you going to implement this offseason to help your team get better, to help these players play better, to help get after the quarterback, to help cover guys better? What's going on in the secondary? Why are these guys miscommunicating? It's not about playing fast. It's not about playing violent. They're looking at each other with their arms out after the play. I thought you had them. No, I thought you were supposed to be there. I want to hear like more definitive answers about these things. Like, oh, this guy screwed up. This guy's got to play better. This guy has to have that assignment, this guy, you know, and then see the lineup change as a result. How are you going to correct these things? And you don't really ever hear him speak about that. Not that he doesn't have those answers. He just never really speaks about those answers. And so I would rather hear less coach speak from Robert Saleh and hear him get into the nitty gritty and maybe why some things need to change and what is going to change about some things specifically, and be like, okay, yeah, he knows what's going on. He's got this under control. He's going to fix this thing. That would make me feel a little bit better about it. Not that he needs to do that, and I'm not saying this is what he has to be a certain way when he speaks to reporters about the 49ers. You just never hear that kind of response from him about the team. It's always a very canned answer. It's pretty much the same thing he's always said since he showed up. All right, we got a couple more here. Let's take a quick break. Get back to more of the Locked On 49ers mailbag. If your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on this podcast. To get your company connected with this audience, email locked@lockedonpodcast.com and get more details about increasing your business. Let's go to Tyrone, who's got an email about all-time 49ers quarterbacks after Montana and Young, who's the third best quarterback in 49ers history. This is a tough one to answer for me, because I think the third best quarterback in 49ers history is obviously a guy that I've never seen before. And the 49ers have other Hall of Fame quarterbacks that aren't named Montana and Young. I think the next guy should absolutely be either Y.E. Tittle or John Brody. And if you look at the all-time passing numbers for the 49ers, it's Montana 1, John Brody 2, even ahead of Steve Young. John Brody was with the 49ers for quite a while, from 1957 to 1973. Y.A. Tittle, he gets remembered a lot for his time with the New York Giants, but he played quite a while with the 49ers too. And Y.A. Tittle is a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I think you probably got to put Y.A. Tittle number 3 and John Brody number 4. And then I think there's a pretty big gap before the guys that most of us had a chance to see play for the 49ers. Guys like Jeff Garcia would definitely have to be in that conversation, in sneaking into the top 5 there. Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith would be in the conversation. Maybe a little, Jim Plunkett, he only played one or two seasons for the 49ers, but he had a great career in his own right. And really, at the end of the day, you just hope that you fast forward a few years, and it's pretty obviously Jimmy Garoppolo that deserves to be in that top 5, along with Montana, Young, Brody, Tittle, because after that, I think, is where the big drop-off is. And that's not to say that Jeff Garcia didn't have a great career or deserved to be in this conversation, and I think Jeff Garcia is probably number 5 for sure right now. And then Colin Kaepernick's right. But if anybody wants to argue Colin Kaepernick over Jeff Garcia, I've got no problem with that either, because Colin Kaepernick took the 49ers to a Super Bowl. And even Alex Smith deserves a part in that as well, because he was a part of that team that quarterbacked half the season that the 49ers ended up going to the Super Bowl. So Alex Smith, Jeff Garcia, Colin Kaepernick in their primes, who would you want playing? I think there could be an argument for any of those guys, but just total numbers that they put up, and I think most people just saw more of Jeff Garcia, so I would expect most people would pick him for the 5th spot in there, and some people might put him higher. I know my buddy Nick Winkler, when we did our all-time 49ers draft, he was the guy that Wink drafted to quarterback his fictitious franchise, because I took both Montana and Young, because I'm sneaky like that. And I definitely had the best team drafted. So looking at numbers, I mean, there's a huge drop-off too. I'm looking at it right now. So Joe Montana was number 1 passer in 49ers history yardage-wise, 35,000 yards. John Brody, 31,000 yards. Then third was Steve Young with just under 30,000, 29,907 yards. And then there's about a 15,000-yard drop to Jeff Garcia. So Jeff Garcia has about 50% of what Steve Young had as quarterback of just the 49ers. And then Y.A. Tittle's 5th, but obviously between 1951 and 1960, when Y.A. Tittle was quarterback in the 49ers, they definitely did not sling the rock around like they did into the 80s and 90s even, and not even compared to what they're doing now. But you got to pay respect to the greats of the past, even if you didn't grow up watching them. And even a little shout out to Frankie Albert, who, if I'm not mistaken, was the very first starting quarterback of the 49ers. Also, the very first starting punter of the 49ers back in 1946. Also credited as the man who invented the bootleg play. Nice little side note there on Frankie Albert. But Tyrone, to answer your question, after Montana, then Young, I'd go Tittle and Brody. I think you got to. I think you got to go back to another era to complete that all-time quarterback list for the 49ers. And they were some greats. To Zach on Twitter, which second-year player can the team least afford to have a sophomore slump this season? Nathan pipes up and says Pettis. Pettis is a good answer, but not the correct answer. The correct answer is Mike McGlinchey. Your first-round draft pick, you already somewhat whiffed on your 2017 first-round draft picks in Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. If your 2018 first-round draft pick also whiffs in Mike McGlinchey, that's just rough for a front office to come back from. And not only that, if you whiff on your starting offensive tackle, then that means your starting offensive tackle is whiffing on pass rushers that are probably killing your quarterback, which is, again, for the second year in a row, ending your season if Jimmy Garoppolo is getting hit early and often back there in the pocket. So I think far and away it's Mike McGlinchey that's the most important sophomore that cannot have a sophomore slump in 2019. And yeah, Pettis is important, and I think a lot of people are penciling him in for that big explosion, that big breakout season, as am I. And I'm expecting a lot from Dante Pettis this year. But if he doesn't do that, then you still have Marquise Goodwin, and you still have Deebo Samuel, and you still have, you know, Jordan Matthews or Jalen Hurd, and there's a lot of guys that can mask a Dante Pettis slump, but who's going to mask your Mike McGlinchey slump? And I would even put probably Fred Warner over Dante Pettis just because the depth at wide receiver. Because if Fred Warner's awful at middle linebacker, I mean, how bad would that be for the 49ers defense? So, yeah, I would rank them McGlinchey 1, Fred Warner 2, then maybe Dante Pettis 3. But there's some other important ones too. Tarvarius Moore, is he going to be... You picked him in the third round to be something. Is he going to be a corner? Is he going to be a safety? Is he going to be a stud corner or a stud safety? Is he going to be a starting caliber player? Because we should start to see that in 2019 if that's the case. And my guy Richie James, just for me personally, I don't want to see him have a sophomore slump. I want to see Richie James ball out and have the opposite, the sophomore bump, which a lot of guys get. We saw that from... last year from George Kittle, and it's big for pass catchers, man, that second year. So I expect big things from Dante Pettis and even Richie James. I want to see Richie James come out in training camp on fire, win a job, win that kick return spot, win a spot on the field, on offense. I think he's a playmaker, and he can do some things. So, yeah, big things happening year two for the 49ers, and big expectations and big responsibilities, I think, for a lot of guys, particularly the first three picks. First-rounder Mike McGlinchey, second-rounder Pettis, and third-rounder Fred Warner. And let's finish it up with Seth on Twitter. Which side of the ball are you looking forward to watching the most, offense or defense, and why? Continue killing the pod. Thank you so much, Seth. I would say I'm most interested in the defense because I don't know what it's going to look like as much as the offense. I think we have a really good idea now under Shanahan what the offense is going to look like. I think there's some good training camp battles that I'm excited to watch, like position group battles, wide receiver, and see how things shake out at running back and see how those touches are distributed on the offensive side of the ball. That's interesting. But as far as how the offense looks, I think we kind of know what that's going to be. You know, is Garoppolo healthy? So it's more on offense, the individuals, and is Garoppolo healthy? That's a big question. Is, you know, who's going to get the carries at running back? How's that depth chart going to look at running back? Wide receivers, who's going to win jobs there? The young guys are going to step up? Are some of the veterans actually going to hold on to their jobs and make the young players wait for their turn a little bit more? I think there are some interesting storylines on the offensive side of the ball, but no matter who wins those jobs, I think I have a really good idea of what that's going to look like. But defense, I'm not sure. They've got the new pass rushers on the edge. How's it going to look with this wide nine? The linebackers playing a different role, and are they actually going to play different coverages in the secondary, or are they still going to play that predominantly cover three zone? Or are they going to play more man? Are they going to play more too high safety? Who's going to step up and be consistent in that secondary? There's so many questions there I have about the defense side of the ball, so I think I'm more interested in seeing how that entire unit looks. Okay, that's where we will end it. Thank you so much for everybody getting involved in this mailbag. Apologies if I did not get to your question. We'll hit a few more on Wednesday with Wink. Tomorrow, we've got the first ever Locked On 49ers Trivia Challenge. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.